Dubok, Ruston, Monroe, 97.7.
It's time for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Tonight's show on ESPN 97.7 is also brought to you by O'Neill Gas, Brister's Smokehouse, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Ideal Portable Buildings, and Scott's Seafood. Text us on the Fairway Carts text line at 888-993-7762. Here's your host, Ben Carlisle.
Welcome in to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'm your host, Ben Carlisle, joined for the third consecutive week by my co-host, Beck Ames. Louisiana Tech, 34-16 winners over South Alabama this past weekend. The Dogs weren't consistent the whole night, but nonetheless, came out with the victory. But first things first, I think Beck and I really have to address the elephant in the room. When you look down south to what happened in Baton Rouge on Saturday night, there's really nothing else I can do other than giggle seeing the LSU Tigers lose to Troy State 24-21. Yes, I'm talking about those Troy Trojans of the Sun Belt Conference. The Bayou Bengals, they made some changes in the offseason at offensive coordinator. Danny Etling was immediately given consideration for the Heisman Trophy, but as we've seen, that's not exactly going to happen. Beck, have you heard about some bad quarterback play in Baton Rouge?
Ben, it's been rough, you know. I mean, rough for them, you know, not for me. I'm fine. You know, actually double majored in business management and bad quarterback play down in Baton Rouge, so This is no surprise to me.
Yeah, absolutely. That said, really wanted to reiterate the point that LSU lost to Troy once again. Just a personal opinion of mine, Tech is the best team in the state. Tech obviously has room to grow, but I think this year they might would have LSU's number. But we had to get that out of the way to get the show going. Just to take a look at a couple of scores from around the state other than LSU losing to Troy. Tech obviously defeated South Alabama 34-16. Grambling picked up a victory in the Windy City Classic over Clark Atlanta 31-20. Southern defeats Fort Valley State 31-14. Southeastern defeats Northwestern State 49-20. Feels like the Demons are in a free fall. Nicholls State gave A&M a run for their money earlier this season. They defeat Lamar 41-14. McNeese shuts out Stephen F. Austin 35-0. And then, as we mentioned earlier, the boys in Baton Rouge fall to the Sun Belt Conference favorite Troy State.
Ben, I've barely heard of the Sun Belt Conference, and all I really know about the Sun Belt Conference is ULM. Plays. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And that's really all I need to know.
That's about all you need to know. Looking around Conference USA, Marshall, big victory against Cincinnati. That was a game that really surprised me. The Bearcats generally have a pretty good program in the American. Marshall wins 38-21. Pittsburgh crushes Rice 42-10. In Conference USA play, FIU defeats Charlotte. Maybe the worst team in the FBS. If not, they're the second worst to UTEP. We'll get to them in a minute. They defeat Charlotte 30-29. FIU is out to a 2-0 conference start, but let's be careful. They've only beat Rice and Charlotte. They're 3-1 overall. Florida Atlantic defeats Middle Tennessee. That was a little surprising for me to see. When you look at a Florida Atlantic team coached by Lane Kiffin in his first year. Middle Tennessee was again playing without their quarterback, Brent Stockstill. They're just not the same team without him. Jason Driscoll, brother of Jeff Driscoll, got the start for Florida Atlantic in the victory. North Texas goes into Hattiesburg, defeats Southern Miss. I'm not really sure what this says. Obviously, North Texas is better than they were a year ago. They barely squeak out a victory over Tech's opponent this week, UAB, last week, and then they go into Hattiesburg after trailing at the half and really dominate Southern Miss 26-7 in the second half. They piled up over 500 yards of offense. So that was an interesting game to me. And then the final score of this weekend, Army defeats UTEP 35-21. The Miners fall to 0-5 overall. And it resulted in Sean Kugler resigning his position as head coach at UTEP, the first domino to fall of head coaches in FBS football. Kugler was 18-36 in his tenure at UTEP. I believe it was over 5 years. And he had one winning season in 2014 when he took the Miners to the New Mexico Bowl. Interim coach will be Mike Price. You may remember Price being the coach at UTEP previously, also formerly of Washington State as well. Those are the scores from around Conference USA, around the state. Definitely some interesting scores. Conference USA play really heats up this weekend. Tech travels to UAB. We'll really get into that in the 6:30 segment. We'll talk to Dave West. We've had Dave on. He's from the Daily Dragon from Birmingham. He's got the best knowledge of UAB. UAB's, you know, to me, they've been pretty impressive after not having a program for 2 years.
Right, and also they're a team you kind of want to root for or have wanted to just because of how everything went down. Taking 2 years off, 2015-2016 season, and to come back and to see them have any excess really is it's cool to see. I mean, I remember when all that went down, I felt for those guys that played there, and it was kind of it felt a little bit like it was wrong for them to close the program down. So to see those guys bounce back, I ain't mad to see that.
Yeah, they're off to a 2-2 start. Not the toughest schedule in the country by any means. Alabama, A&M, Ball State, Coastal Carolina, North Texas. Four teams. I think North Texas is the best of the bunch. But it'll be an interesting matchup. That's a fan base that's definitely provided a little boost to their team. You look at the opening week, obviously, they're hashtagging it, their return. I think they had over 45,000 inside Legion Field. I think they had 24,000 for the matchup with Coastal Carolina. So, Tech travels to UAB. We beat it like a dead horse throughout the last, 3 or 4 weeks. We'll beat it again this week. UAB will be looking to run the football. That's kind of what Tech's seen through first 5 games thus far, 6 games coming up. So Dave West will join us at 6:30. At 7 o'clock, we'll be joined by defensive coordinator of the Bulldogs, Blake Baker. The Bulldog defense has been much improved over the previous 3 weeks. They're only allowing around 18 points a game. They gave up only 333 yards against South Alabama Saturday night in the Tech victory over South Alabama. So I'm really excited just to get to talk to him, kind of get his take on his defense to this point.
Right. I mean, defense has in the past been a little bit of a struggle for Tech, and I feel like this is the first year since I can remember, since I've been following Tech and attended Tech here, that our defense is actually something to talk about. And it's been exciting. It's been more fiery with our guys on the corners. And so I'm looking forward to talking to Coach Baker, and I think he'll be able to give us some good insight.
Yeah, and I'm excited to hear, I went to the weekly press conference with Skip Holtz, and he said this is an interesting football team, one that, he hasn't really had since his time at Tech. In the past it's been, score 40, 50 points, see if you can win the football game by outscoring them, get up and down the field, do what you can to score as many points. Well, this team's a little bit different. There's going to be games, 20s, 30s points a game, a game where he can be a little more conservative. He talked about how once he gets past the 50-yard line into that 40-yard line range, he becomes a little bit conservative as a play caller, knowing that he has a senior kicker in Jonathan Barnes who's been so consistent throughout his career. We'll get to Barnes in a minute. But, it's a team that Tech can really lean on their defense. The defense has been outstanding through 5 weeks outside of the Mississippi State game. You can blame some of that on the offense, but, defense didn't play their best game. But I'm excited to talk to Blake Baker.
Right, and let's go back to that press conference with Skip Holtz today. I want to talk a little bit about that. I've noticed a trend, and I really do. Hear me say this. I love this about Coach Holtz, but just listening to him talk, I feel like he has a lot of respect for his opponents, but he almost makes them sound like they could win the Super Bowl.
They might could.
I mean, I was listening today, and I was, you know, I went into that, you know, before I started watching and thinking that this is going to be kind of an easy weekend, and I mean, not easy. You don't ever want to take it lightly, but you know, them being off for 2 years, and I thought this will be an easy win, I'll just say it. And then Skip had me believing that we'd be lucky to get out of there with a W. So I appreciate that about him. I like that he has respect for his opponents, but I thought that was funny.
Yeah, he definitely has utmost respect for his opponents. I know he's done a lot of film breakdown on UAB. One thing that was interesting that I took away from today's press conference is he said that UAB is the oldest team in the country. I know that the NCAA froze some players' eligibility while their program was off for those 2 years. They obviously brought in a lot of junior college talent, a lot of talented transfers. I believe they have three of the top 15 oldest players in the country, which is, you know, that's pretty crazy considering no other team in the country has one. I think they have 30 guys that are 22 years or older. So they're a veteran team. Granted, they haven't played a lot together, but, you know, they're 4 weeks in. Coming off a bye week, it's homecoming. It's no secret Tech and UAB don't particularly like one another a whole lot. I'm excited to see this weekend and what happens in Birmingham.
Right, I'm looking forward to tuning in too. This is a team that, like I said earlier, that we're glad to see them have a football program back. So it does make it a little bit more interesting. It is an away game for Tech and a home game for UAB, obviously, and so. I think their fans are going to be excited, I think, as they are at any home game this year. But I think it's going to be – it's not going to be an easy task by any means, and it's not something that Tech can take lightly. But I think Tech should get in there and get the W.
Yeah, I agree with you. Looking back at the South Alabama game, we mentioned Jonathan Barnes, how he's in range when Tech crosses midfield. It was a special night for him. Passed Josh Scobie on the all-time career field goals list. Pretty cool moment to see that Saturday.
Right, and I actually got to sit behind what I believe was his parents just based on how they reacted. And so to see them stand up right before he kicked it and to see them celebrate and hug and people coming down to congratulate them, it was a cool moment. I know that meant a lot to Jonathan. You could see the way he reacted, that it was a genuine appreciation for the fans and for the opportunity that he had been given to kick that many field goals. And so it was cool to see. He earned it. I always like to see those guys do well and to play here for a long time and to be a starter for that long. So I thought the crowd was great to him, gave him a big round of applause, well-deserved by Jonathan Barnes.
Yeah, and Holt said that he gave the game ball to Barnes after the game, and Barnes had the opportunity to address the team. He was obviously thankful for an individual accomplishment, but one thing that Holt was particularly impressed with was how he said, you know, this is a team honor. I couldn't do this without the guys around me. That's pretty cool to see. You know, he's a kicker, but he has such a huge influence being that fifth-year senior. Cedric Cooper had a big night against South Alabama, collecting the first two interceptions of his Bulldog career. The senior from Marrero, Louisiana, continues to impress. He's such a vital key to the Bulldog defense at safety. Nice honor for him to be named Defensive Player of the Week in the conference. Tech's going to need another big performance out of him when they travel to UAB this weekend. Elsewhere around campus, basketball team got going with their first practice Friday afternoon. I was able to make it in there Saturday morning. If you're looking for a complete breakdown, just kind of how the team looks early on, you can join us at bleedtechblue.com. It's just $9.95 a month. We're actually running a promotion through October 31st. You can use the promo code Bulldogs3050. You'll get a free 30-day trial, half-price subscription thereafter. You know, you're not going to find a better deal that we have to offer. So you can join us at bleedtakeblue.com. Baseball team got practice going Friday as well. So there's a lot going around campus. But we're going to take a quick time out. As always, you can call us or text us on the Fairway Carts hotline at 1-888-993-7762. And after the break, we'll recap South Alabama. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7.
At First National Bank, part of being the uncommon bank is a dedication to community involvement. We are dedicated to the communities we serve. First National Bank has the privilege of partnering with MedCamps of Louisiana for the 2017 Louisiana Tech football season. For every touchdown the Bulldogs score, FNB will donate $100 to MedCamps, a nonprofit organization that provides a residential camping experience free of charge to children living with special needs. Visit their website, MedCamps.org, for more information on how you can help. First National Bank, we promise to be uncommon in all things we do. Member FDIC.
Bulldog fans, this is Chris Brister from Brister's Smokehouse, and I'd like to invite you to our new location, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston, across the street from our old location. Stop in and try our famous scatter load on your choice of four different types of bread. Our barbecue nachos are piled high with your favorite type of meat, and you have to taste for yourself our tender and juicy smoke cooked chicken, my personal favorite. So whether you're in town or at a Tech game or just in the mood for the best barbecue in town, come see us at Brister's Smokehouse, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston.
For years, serious hunters around here have gotten close to that big buck on a Bad Boy Buggy from Fairway Carts in Minden. Well, Bad Boy Buggy has a new name, Textron Off-Road, still committed to providing the same power, range, and stealth you demand. Textron Off-Road side-by-sides are whisper quiet, have plenty of distance for wherever you hunt, excellent steering, and deliver a great ride. Hey, you just need to come test ride one to see for yourself. And you can count on Fairway Carts to have the selection you want and always make you a great deal. 2018 models are rolling in, so remaining 17s are priced to move with big rebates and low-interest financing with approved credit. Talk with Larry about a sweet Fairway Carts deal on the one you want most and find out how much you'll save. All the reasons you want a Bad Boy Buggy now wrapped up in a new name, Textron Off-Road. Trailer yours home from Fairway Carts in Minden. Call 800-960-CART or go to fairwaycarts.net.
You gotta love it. Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'm your host, Ben Carlisle, joined by my co-host, Beck Haynes. Louisiana Tech, 34-16 victors over South Alabama Saturday night in front of just over 22,000 fans in Joe A. Stadium. Beck, your thoughts on the game? You know, I thought Tech played well for the most part. There's obviously a lull during the second and third quarters. We'll get to it in a sec. Rashid Bonnet went out with an injury. We've seen how explosive he is. What'd you take away from the game?
Yeah, you said it. There was a lull for sure. It was a quick move in first quarter. Tech drove the ball down real quick, and we had that fumble on the pretty close to the goal line, and then I don't remember exactly, but not long after that, middle of the quarter, end of the quarter, maybe the second quarter, like you said, Bonnet goes down, and I felt like our offense went a little stagnant after that. I don't know if it was, you know, I'm not an analyst, but I don't know if that was a deep threat being gone and South Alabama knew it or whatever it was. It wasn't real pretty football. It wasn't, you know, it. You say 34-16, that's obviously the score, but it didn't feel like it. And there was, you know, going into the fourth quarter, that's pretty much anybody's game. And so it doesn't feel like a blowout or doesn't feel like we beat them by that much, but it was a slow game, but then at the same time, I would have liked to have seen Tech jump out early, take care of them a little earlier, and for us to be able to relax a little bit in the third and fourth. But that seems to be something that we do. We drag it out a little bit, or Tech drags it out, you know, so I wasn't super surprised, I'll say that.
Yeah, and I thought, you know, Tech came out, you know, that first drive, they forced South Alabama in that quick three and out. Tech comes back offensively. Jamar looks comfortable. He looked comfortable the whole night. As each week progresses, he becomes more and more comfortable back there in the pocket. He was able to get through his progressions. Tech drives the field that first drive before a Marlon Watts fumble. I think it was around the 8-yard line, like you mentioned. South Alabama comes back with a quick three-play, 84-yard drive. Xavier Johnson got loose on a 47-yard run. Jamarius Way catches the ball in the north end zone, goes, you know, Legarius Sneed loses the ball. South Alabama's up 7-0. It's not really a start that too many Tech fans have are surprised to see with just how the games have started so far this year. But I was kind of in a manner of where I was like, here we go again. You know, we're going to let – or Tech's going to let a South Alabama team that's not on the talent level of Tech come in here and give them all they can handle. And that's what they did for much of the night. Tech put together some nice drives after that in the first quarter. Teddy Veal, 40-yard touchdown. Jamar found Jared Kraft for 10 yards in the back of the end zone. Jonathan Barnes had a field goal. You know, Tech offensively in that first quarter, clicking on all cylinders. I think Jamar was like 10 of 12, 150 yards, two touchdowns. That's the best quarter he's played as a Bulldog. Then, like you mentioned, the Rashid Bonnett injury goes down in the second quarter on an 18-yard catch. With Bonnett, I don't think it's as much, you know, him catching the ball as it's like you mentioned, that deep threat. When he's not out there making a safety or making a defensive coordinator respect his speed, it really takes away an element of the offense.
Right, right. I think you're absolutely right. And I was actually proud of Boston Scott and even Jared Kraft in there a little bit. They did move the ball a little bit for us, and especially at the end of the third quarter, and kind of establish that run game a little better. Skip Holtz talked about that a little bit in the press conference today. Was happy to see that, but I mean, for literally, Tech had a field goal at the beginning of the second quarter, and then nothing else until 12 minutes into the fourth. So, Barnes missed a field goal in the middle of all that.
Yeah, he missed a field goal to start the third quarter. That one hurt.
Right, it did. But like you said, it's just one of those things that you felt like they're jumping out early on us, and if a team's going to come in to the Joe and beat us, and that's the way they're going to do it. So I got a little nervous too, and you know, you none of these games in Conference USA, these Conference USA teams are anomalies in the sense of you just never know what's going to happen. So I was a little worried too. Like the game was close, you know, and going into the fourth quarter, I mean, we're only up, Tech's only up a touchdown, a little bit more. So it's just, I don't know, it's one of the same story, different day kind of a deal sometimes with us.
Well, and you and I were sitting together during that game, and, you know, you could kind of feel the crowd wasn't really into it in that third quarter. Tech had two consecutive drives where I think they combined to lose, like, negative 26 yards. Jamar was sacked a few times. Everything was just backed up on Tech's end of the field. It couldn't really get a whole lot of field position, and you could tell South Alabama coach Joey Jones, you know, while his offense wasn't moving it a lot, he was – fortunate that they are winning the field position battle. As just a 17-16 ball game, the Tech would punt, you know, South Alabama would take over in Tech's territory. But once again, like we talked about earlier, Tech was able to lean on their defense. They kept them in the ball game before they really allowed the offense to get going in that fourth quarter. Tech had I think it was a 7-play 90-yard drive. It was capped off by Jamar to Adrian Hardy for 30 yards, and I think we might have seen the coming out party for the redshirt freshman.
Absolutely, and we needed to. I mean, that was my question to you. We were talking about in the middle of the game was, well, who else is going to – if Bonnet's down, who else can we count on or Tech count on? And you mentioned Hardy, and so for him to make a big play in the corner like that, a physical play to get that touchdown, that was encouraging to see.
Yeah, and Hardy's a guy who's originally an Oklahoma signee, gets up to Norman, decides, you know, this isn't where I want to be, comes back to Tech, redshirts last year. You know, a lot of guys are expecting a lot from him. You know, he's kind of slow progressing, if you can say that for a freshman. Not the biggest guy in the world as far as, you know, the physical side. He probably could still stand to add 15, 20 pounds. But this was his first game that he really got to see some extensive playing time. Had four catches, 65 yards. The 30-yard touchdown from Jamar. You can say he pushed off. You can say he didn't push off. I don't think he pushed off after watching the replay. He just went up and made a play. And Holtz talked about him today in his press conference. He said, you know, he's a guy, he's super talented, extremely athletic. He can really, you know, shield defenders with his body in the air. He can really come down with the football. At times last year when he redshirted, they had problems with a lack of focus. But he said, you know, he's really focused this year. And being just a redshirt freshman, you're going to see big things for him to come. Going forward, Bonnet's got a shoulder injury. I don't think we'll see him play this week. Hopefully he's back after the bye week. You never know with shoulder injuries. You never want to rush a guy back too quick, but Adrian Hardy's going to play a big role.
Absolutely, and Skip touched on that a little bit today in the conference or in the press conference, and said that Bonnet had good range of motion, was a little further along than they thought he would be. But as a receiver, I mean, you need your shoulders.
I think
get them hands up,
and I think that's encouraging. You know that he has the range of motion, but I also think you know when you have the bye week on the horizon, you know I'm not going to say there's no sense in playing him against UAB. They're pretty decent.
Well,
team.
You'd hope you wouldn't need him. You know, you'd hope that Hardy could step up, and you know, I mean, maybe you suit him up, and if you need him, you bring him in. But I mean, like you said, going into the bye week, it's not. This is a time when they're going to be more inclined to rest him than they are to play him.
I agree. And like you said, you know, Conference USA is an anomaly. We don't know what we're going to expect week in and week out from each team. UAB is a team where, you know, teams don't know a whole lot about him. So, you know, the loss of Bonnet could play a big role. It could play a minimal role at best. We'll see. I was encouraged by what Adrian Hardy did. You mentioned in the fourth quarter, Tech really got the run game going. I know they forced a couple of turnover on downs from South Alabama. Late in that fourth quarter, Tech turns them over on their own 27. One play, Boston Scott breaks through up the middle, 27 yards. Really the dagger in that ball game to put Tech up 34-16.
Right, and Boston pretty much went untouched. So
yeah, he played so well.
He did, and I'm more of a sentimental guy, so I felt like there was times when he really jump-started the offense and kept him moving, and like Skip said it today, even the running game really kind of carried them through. So for him to break away at the end almost untouched, 27 yards up the middle, I'm happy to see that.
Yeah, and that's a Tech running game that, you know, they have to be able to run the football. When you look at their red zone woes throughout the first five games, they've had 21 trips into the red zone. They've only converted 9 into touchdowns. The big question, you know, everybody says, you have to score more, score touchdowns in the red zone. You have to score touchdowns in the red zone. Well, it's easier said than done when windows tighten up for a quarterback throwing the football. And if you can't be physical on the ground, you're going to have issues scoring touchdowns. The good thing for Tech is they do have a reliable kicker that can get them 3 points most of the time. So if Tech wants to win Conference USA, which you and I will both agree they're the favorites in the Western Division, some say UTSA is. I say you got to knock the big dog off if you want a spot in the title game. Tech's going to have to run in the red zone. They're going to have to run the football with Jared Kraft, Boston Scott, no questions asked. It was encouraging to see Scott bust through. I know he had 76 yards on 6 carries, good for nearly 13 yards per tote. I don't think you can ask for anything more. He's kind of that home run hitter. Looking at the defensive side of the ball for Tech against South Alabama, they give up 333 total yards. 47 of the 98 rushing yards came on one play from Xavier Johnson. So outside of that, you know, they have, I think it was 51 yards on 21 carries, good for, 2.5 yards a carry. You can't beat that. The long pass to Way for the 29-yard touchdown. Snead kind of lost him, two big plays on the night. Big deal. When you hold them to 333 total yards, one touchdown, you're going to be in a lot of good spots as games end. That's just the bottom line. I think this Tech team, they're looking to put it together for 4 quarters offensively, but they're really getting better and better.
Right, and you mentioned it. 4 quarters is the key. I think I was. We say this every week. Jamar is obviously progressing. First quarter and fourth quarter, Jamar, I'm real pleased with. Skip touched on that a little bit today of just needing to be consistent through the whole game. And so Jamar is looking more comfortable. He's looking like this is his offense. This is his team. I saw that from him, especially in the fourth quarter on Saturday. So we have to keep our spark through the middle of the game, and that's going to have to happen this weekend at UAB for sure.
Yeah, and Tech, they got to become more consistent. They will become more consistent the more game experience they get. That's the key for young guys. I'm just excited to see, it's the 6th game of the year. We're meeting the halfway point. I'm excited to see what they have to offer. But that's South Alabama for you. Tech wins 34-16. And we'll get to our break. After the break, we're joined by Dave West to break down UAB. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7.
Walpole Tire and Service has been a proud Tech supporter for over 60 years. When the Bulldogs hit the field this weekend, make sure your vehicle is game ready. Let the knowledgeable staff at Walpole get you safely to and from the game with brake repair, alignments, and computer diagnostics. Plus, all your major brands of tires, including Michelin and BF Goodrich. Walpole Tire and Service Superstores, a name you can trust. Ruston, West Monroe. Or visit walpoletire.com.
I want my seafood grilled and my burgers lean, like that Cajun flavor on my onion rings. I like some fries and slaw, catfish fillets, down home cooking from Scott's today. I like to hit the drive-thru when I can't stay for gumbo, seafood, or etouffee. I want my oysters fried, hush puppies just right. Down home cooking from Scott's tonight.
Scott's Catfish and Seafood. Ruston, West Monroe.
First National Bank. The uncommon bank. Banking on a first name basis. Uncommon. People, service, and convenience. Uncommon. Dedication, trust, and courtesy. First National Bank. Beyond banking with 100 years of experience. Uncommonly close to you. First National Bank. The Uncommon Bank. www.theuncommonbank.com. Member FDIC.
Want to find out stuff about Tech sports your neighbor doesn't know? Keep it right here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'm your host, Ben Carlisle. Joined in studio by Beck Haynes. Louisiana Tech, 3-2 on the young season, 1-0 in Conference USA play, will travel to Birmingham to take on the UAB Blazers this week. And to preview the Blazers, we are joined by Dave West of thedailydragon.com. How are you doing tonight, Dave?
You know, I can't be much better these days just having football to talk about. I mean, it's, you know, I count my blessings, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And, that, you know, I hate to beat a dead horse, and I'm sure you get the question all the time, but that was obviously my first question. With the program obviously going on the two-year hiatus and dropping the program, what's it like with football back in Birmingham? What's the vibe around the program, and how's the fan interest?
Fan interest is fantastic, but as far as, you know, the diehards and the support and the people around the team, it's starting to get normal, like you would see, you know, like your program or Alabama Auburn, where fans are starting to get, you know, kind of mad and restless if things aren't going well. In the beginning, we were just glad to play, but I actually am a little thankful now that I get the direct messages and the emails wanting to know why we don't do this, why we don't do that. So it's fun to have that banter again among fans and supporters. But as far as the city goes, I mean, you can't ask for more. I mean, they've embraced the team. Where we should probably bring about 30,000, maybe a little more when Tech gets down Saturday, and I imagine you guys will bring a couple thousand. So you can't ask for a better start. We just, you know, need to get a couple more W's so we can go bowling.
Absolutely, and you look at the 2 years off. Obviously, head coach Bill Clark stuck around the program, stayed with the process, focused on continuing to build this football team with the eye on, you know, football making a comeback. How fortunate are the UAB administrators and the fans? How fortunate do they feel to have him stick around the program through all that turmoil?
I imagine they feel very fortunate. It never would have happened without him, because the smartest thing he did, and I can't even give the athletic department much credit on this, because from what I heard, it was Bill Clark's idea from the beginning to get the business people in Birmingham involved, to make it almost somewhat of an investment in Birmingham, not just an investment in UAB, because, you know, high tide lifts all ships kind of thing. So that was his idea, and that's what got the money. And money talks. I mean, you can be diehard green and gold all you want, but if you aren't given millions of dollars, you know, via corporations here in Birmingham, it was never going to happen. So, I mean, they have him to thank, and I mean, one day that man's name's going to be on a stadium, and hopefully a new stadium.
And moving on to the field, obviously UAB, you know, they've had some success. Whether you expected UAB to be 4-0 or 0-4 at this point, A.J. Ederle at quarterback has played very well. I know he originally started his career at Middle Tennessee. How has he looked at quarterback? I know he's a dual-threat guy, combined for 11 touchdowns, just one turnover this year. How has he progressed throughout the first four games?
You know, I don't think anyone other than, you know, the people internal and the staff and the program knew how good of a runner he could be when the pocket collapsed. And let me tell you, our pockets collapsed like no one else in the country. We've got some offensive line play that's suspect at best. So I'm happy with how great he is in the run game. But it took till I saw the second half of the North Texas game where he threw four passing touchdowns to really show me the kid can throw. If he's got a little bit of time, he can throw. So, I mean, we're going to live and die by A.J. As long as he keeps the turnovers down, which he has, and we can give him just some kind of protection or maybe move the pocket a little bit more, you can't ask much more from the kid.
Dave, you touched on it a little bit with the offensive line, but taking 2 years off and having to kind of go through that recruiting process again, and you got some of those guys back, how do you feel like you feel like depth has been a tough thing for you guys, and how are y'all coping with that?
You know, I don't know if it's depth or at the offensive line in particular. I kind of like our first five or first six rather. What I think really what it is these guys, especially AJ, getting comfortable with his receivers. You just don't see him go past the first progression hardly ever, and it wasn't until the North Texas game where they had to and were playing catch up that he was really getting into multiple progressions and moving the pocket. So I'm not so concerned about the depth because help's been okay of our first six, and it's probably a better first six than we've had in a decade. It's just, you know, AJ getting more comfortable in his skin and starting to trust these receivers because, I mean, we hardly ever use our outside guys. We can't give them enough time. We've just been, you know, throwing short stuff to our slot passers. So, I give a lot of criticism to the offensive line, but more than anything is just AJ's got to get comfortable with these outside receivers, in my opinion.
And looking at, you know, true freshman Spencer Brown, he's been an obvious bright spot at running back. I know he wasn't expected to start before the season. What has he done throughout the first four games to really seize that role? I saw he had a pretty big day against Ball State.
He's something else. He actually went to my high school. I'm significantly older than him, but I remember watching some online feeds of him in high school last year. And he'd play every snap. He'd play linebacker, defensive end, running back. He's just a man among boys. He's, you know, built like a house. He reminds me of the former running back at UAB, Jordan Howard. He's north and south. He's not going to mess around a lot of east and west, and he just really knows how to pick his holes. And I'm really interested to see how we're going to be able to run against you guys. I mean, you guys bring so many different blitz packages, and even when you guys just have three guys up front, I mean, they can control the line of scrimmage. I've been really impressed with y'all's defensive line and your front seven in general. So.
Looking defensively at the Blazers, I know they've had some issues stopping the run. They gave up, you know, a good amount to Ball State, but Coach Holtz raved about the defensive line, particularly Tico Powell and Anthony Rush, the two defensive tackles inside in his press conference today. He even went as far as to say those are two guys that will play in the NFL one day. Defensive line, especially in the interior, would you call that a strength for the Blazers?
Definitely. And I know it sounds kind of crazy, but the stats really don't show how good they have been in the running game. Yeah. Our biggest problem is just getting off the field in third down.
Yeah, that's really what Holtz said today.
Oh man, it just drives me crazy. But those two guys, like Coach said, those guys could play on Sunday. They're Power Five type defensive linemen. They're huge, and you'll see it. I mean, they can really control that inside. But we're going to be tested at receiver. That's what I'm worried about. I mean, Teddy Veal, man, watching his film, he's crazy good. He's crazy good, and I'm just concerned about my secondary and how we're going to be able to handle him. Because North Texas is a good receiver, Guyton. I mean, he just lit us up all game.
And you mentioned the North Texas game. Obviously, UAB trailed 30-14 at the half. Made a huge comeback in the second half. I know you touched on it a little bit with how the quarterback Ederle played. What really did UAB do to get back into that game and give themselves a chance late?
we blitzed a ton in that second half, and we took care of getting off the field on third down. That's really what it was. We finally got one or two stops in a row, and that defense can be really darn good if we can just get off the stinking field. And the combination of that, I mean, we just actually were able to control the ball on offense enough and give them some rest. If we can get a stop here, stop there, I mean, this defense, I mean, you're going to be impressed. This is not, you know, a bunch of young kids. There's a bunch of grown men on that defense. I mean, they may not be deep, but I mean, we got a defensive end who's 6'7", that, I mean, he's just a beast. He's been hurt in the past two games, and he's going to be playing. I think you're going to be really impressed with the defensive line.
And that's a great lead-in for my next question. Obviously, taking 2 years off, and you come back, and UAB has a competitive program this year. I expect to see them push for a bowl game. And they have so many older guys. I think I read that there's 30 guys on the team that are 22 years of age or older. How has that helped them? I know it's obviously different from having not played in a while, but from a leadership standpoint, how has that helped them on the field when things do get tough?
I mean, it's got to be huge because we've got leaders on both sides. We've got Shaq Jones, who's been kind of a national sweetheart in the media, just sticking with the program. He's the one you would see on the ESPN pieces. He holds down the defense, and Tevin Cruz is another. They're both holdovers. And, yeah, like you said, they're 22, 23, 24 years old. And from what I know, and they're pretty tight-lipped on the program, but the guys just stay out of trouble, and everyone does what they're supposed to do. There's no prima donnas, and I'm just really impressed. I like to, among friends and other writers, like I say, I've got a lot of good inside information on basketball, things like that from our coaches, but I can't get any of those coaches to talk to us. They are business, and they have one goal, and that goal is to go bowling this year.
And it's no secret, I know you cover the basketball team heavily. There's no secret that Tech and UAB don't exactly have a strong love for one another on the hardwood. With UAB having football back, could you see this game developing into a rivalry-type game each year? I know some Tech fans are a little riled up with being UAB's homecoming in their first trip back to Birmingham.
I think it could eventually become somewhat of a rivalry. It's just the programs are just such two different levels right now. I mean, Tech is a championship program year in, year out. It's, you know, one man down, another one step up. Just quarterback play has been amazing, and it's what's really incredible is how you're able to hold on to your coach, man. If I was a big program, I'd hire him yesterday. So hopefully, I'd love to be even in the conversation of having a rivalry with Tech. And just have some competitive games, and you know that's something I would really look forward to because I love engaging with Tech fans. There's nothing like passion. Oh. And for the Ruston's not huge, but for the amount of support you're able to get out of such a small area, I mean, you compare that to like what we get out of Birmingham, it's not even the same. It's amazing the support your program has.
Absolutely. And what are some of your keys to the game Saturday and a prediction?
I mean, I want to say we got to make Tech a running team, but I don't even know if that's really a great idea because, I mean, I don't want to be trying to chase down Jared Kraft all day. But, I mean, if you give Jamar a clean pocket, he's just going to tear you apart. So for us, we've just got to figure out how to make Tech a one-dimensional team. We just can't let them, do what they did against South Carolina, which is just the offensive line for Tech was just extremely dominant and just poised and just gave them all sorts of protection. So if we can get a couple turnovers and maybe you guys make a couple mistakes for us, I could see us keeping this within a touchdown. But, I mean, it's going to be a really big uphill battle for us.
Dave, we appreciate you coming on, man. Thanks for your time. We look forward to Saturday, and be sure to give the dogs a warm welcome into town.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys.
Right, have a good one, Dave. Dave West, thedailydragon.com. Joining us tonight on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, interesting, to hear him talk about quarterback A.J. Ederle. I'm not sure if I'm saying that or not, but he was, he had a lot of questions about Ederle before they went on the road to North Texas. Just looking at their statistics, they didn't throw for above 200 yards a game until that game against North Texas when he threw for 320 yards and four touchdowns.
Right, it's no surprise. We're getting into the fourth and fifth game of the season. Players are starting to settle in a little bit. We're seeing that on our Tech squad, so no surprise there. I think it'll be a good game Saturday, not to be taken lightly. UAB, a team that it's easy to root for, but this weekend they're some enemies.
Absolutely. Tech with a big road matchup at UAB this weekend. 3 p.m. kickoff from Legion Field in Birmingham. We're going to take a quick timeout after the break. We'll preview UAB a little bit more, and then we'll have a new segment. We'll do four downs. I'll ask Beck four questions, and I'll answer the questions myself. All about the Louisiana Tech football team. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7.
97.7 is presented by the injury attorney Jeff Guerrero in Monroe. If you or someone you love has been injured in an accident or a victim of medical malpractice, you need to go Guerrero.
Yep, it's hunting season, and you think it's too late to get that new deer stand. Hey, at Ideal Portable Buildings and Trailer Sales, it's never too late. Get a custom-built box stand from Ideal, exactly like you want it, and get a real good price on it, too. Plus, Ideal has the right utility trailer for any hauling you need to do. Haul it, cover it, or store it. Ideal Portable Buildings and Trailer Sales, 699-9426. 699-9426.
I want my seafood grilled and my burgers lean, like that Cajun flavor on my onion rings. I like some fries and slaw, catfish fillets, down home cooking from Scotch today. I like to hit the drive-thru when I can't stay for gumbo, seafood, or etouffee. I want my oysters fried, hush puppies just right, down home cooking from Scotts tonight.
Scotts Catfish and Seafood, Ruston, West Monroe.
At First National Bank, part of being the uncommon bank is a dedication to community involvement. We are dedicated to the communities we serve. First National Bank has the privilege of partnering with MedCamps of Louisiana for the 2017 Louisiana Tech football season. For every touchdown the Bulldogs score, FNB will donate $100 to MedCamps, a nonprofit organization that provides a residential camping experience free of charge to children living with special needs. Visit their website, medcamps.org, for more information on how you can help. First National Bank, we promise to be uncommon in all things we do. Member FDIC.
Get ready for a healthy dose of Louisiana Tech sports. Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank, is back on the radio. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'm your host, Ben Carlisle. Louisiana Tech, UAB, rivalry renewed in Birmingham, this time on the football field between Louisiana Tech and UAB, a UAB program that has not played in 2 years. It's really looking to get some things going. Overall, when you look at the series between the two teams, Tech leads it 5-0. UAB has not had a lot of success. The last matchup coming in 2014 in Birmingham, Louisiana Tech won a 40-24 decision, a game that, in my opinion, was a lot closer than the score indicated. Just for some reason, what sticks out in my head from that game, Cody Sokol is obviously at quarterback, but J.J. Nelson, wide receiver for the Arizona Cardinals, was playing for UAB and gave Tech fits all day long. But looking at the Blazers, we got into it a little bit about A.J. Erdely. Not real sure how to say that.
You spelled it Ederly.
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 A.J. Ederly. He's a transfer from Middle Tennessee. He's a dual-threat guy. We've seen dual-threat guys give Tech problems in the past. If you look at Ederly's stats, he's only completing 53% of his passes, but he has 141 yards and 5 touchdowns on the ground, and that's counting in 12 sacks. So him along with Spencer Brown, we talked to Dave West. Brown's a big 6-foot, 235-pound running back, bowling ball type that can, you know, he can take off if he gets in the open field. If UAB goes to a little bit of the spread option, you know, run pass option, whatever it may be, that could be some difficulty. UAB does average 210 yards a game on the ground.
Right. Skip touched on that a little bit during the press conference today, just talking about one game they rush for 320 and then one game they'll throw for 320. So, you know, obviously not, like I've said it before on the show today already, it's just not something we can take lightly. Looking for the defense to really step up and play well as they have in the past few games. You know, they just lost a heartbreaker to North Texas on a last-second field goal. So they're coming home. They are, you know, probably hungry, I would imagine, and also just for what that program has stood for these last few years, they're going to be fired up.
Yeah, and outside of receiver, Andre Wilson, Colin Lisa lead the Blazers at receiver. They have combined for 23 catches, 452 yards, and three touchdowns on the year. Amik Robertson, Aaron Roberson, Legarius Sneed will have to be up for the task. Offensive coordinator Todd Fitch of the Bulldogs said today, you know, all the talk about how good Tech's offense was a year ago, when Tech did go on the road, they only won by an average of 2.4 points per game. So at the end of the day, when you go on the road, regardless of opponent, it's going to be tough to win. Tech's going to have to play their A game, like you said. Defense is going to have to really carry them. I think they can. I like Tech's chances defensively.
Right, and as far as offensively goes, I don't know the statistics on this, but I do feel like Tech settled a lot for field goals. And so getting into the red zone, we have to be able to convert more of those into touchdowns, and that's on just our ability, like you said earlier, to just be physical on the goal line. And Jamar's got to make good decisions down there as well. If Tech's going to continue to be dominant in this conference, that's one way for sure we're going to have to do it.
I completely agree. Shifting over, we're going to do a new little segment called Four Downs. We have four questions on the agenda. I'm going to ask Beck. I'll answer the question myself. First question for first down. Beck, with all the hype surrounding Jamar after his one start in 2016, what's your evaluation on his play through five games to this point? I think it's obvious he has improved. What are your thoughts from your point of view?
Well, first of all, admittingly, I was one of those guys that was chanting for Jamar to come in early when Ryan Higgins was a little slow to get started. So I may have been wrong on that. But excited to see Jamar play this year. We've said it over and over again. He's getting better every game. He seems to be settling in. Some of those drives are stalling like Tech did in this last game in the second and third quarter. It's just eliminating some of those poor decisions, that interception over at
South Carolina,
thank you. Over there, that was timely, unfortunately, and in the wrong way. So I'm encouraged. I'm not discouraged by him. I think he's, from what I can tell, it seems like he's going through his progressions and a little further along and making some better decisions. And also that ground game with Boston Scott, that's helping too.
Well, one thing I particularly noticed about Jamar this past week is there was a lot more zip on his throws. I think a lot of that comes from having more confidence. He has more confidence, you know, not only in his receivers, but as well as, you know, where he needs to go with the football based on the look he's getting from the defense. This week against UAB, they really mix up coverages really well. So it'll be interesting to see if he can, you know, go through his progressions, figure out where he needs to go with the football. But from a totality standpoint, he's made six career starts. I'm really impressed. I don't think you'll see him as an first-team all-conference quarterback this year, just because, you know, a semi-slow start out of the gate. But his junior and senior years, I think he's talented enough to be not only first-team all-conference, but to be the Conference USA Offensive Player of the Year.
Right, and Skip touched on that today. He said that when Jamar's mental game catches up with his physical ability, he's going to be a special player. And so I think we're starting to see that a little bit. We mentioned this last week that, you know, three of his five starts last week, now three of his six starts, have been against SEC schools. So he's kind of been baptized by fire, and I think we may have been a little hard on him in that sense. I mean, that is another level.
It's a different level.
It's a different level of football. So just maybe just even in the sense of just the mental barrier that, oh my gosh, this is an SEC school. I've never played Division I football. I don't know if that's a real thing. It seems like it could be. So I'm gonna give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm impressed with him. Like you said, I'm excited for the junior and senior, Jamar, and he can only get more comfortable and better from here.
Absolutely. Looking at second down, the Tech defense averaging only giving up 18 points per game in their last three games. They've made tremendous strides from 2016, a unit that gave up 40 points a game nearly. They might have actually given up over 40 points a game. What do you attribute most of this to? I know this is a question we'll have for Blake Baker in our next segment as well.
Right. It's to me, in my knowledge, in my average knowledge, it's Amik Robertson and Aaron Roberson on the ends. Those guys have we've had some good defensive players in the past, Tech has, and just to see those guys, you know, we were sitting together and I was commenting on how much Amik was just talking, you know, and he was just in that guy's face after every play, and you made the comment that, you know, he's little, but he's lining up against their big guys, and they just wouldn't throw at him. So to have somebody that locked down, and he's a freshman, and he's made a mistake or two here and there, but to have somebody that locked down on the corners, I think that gives that gives the other defense relief of some of that pressure, and that, to me, that's what's been the difference maker.
Yeah, and for me, you know, I think it seems crazy to say that a freshman can have so much impact on a defense, but I think Amik's confidence level that he brought into this program, you know, not only as a cornerback, but just as a player in all, has increased the competition throughout the fall, has increased the competition daily in practice, and has increased the confidence that each, you know, whatever Tech runs out there, 22, 25 guys a night defensively, you know, he's increased that confidence. And you can see it. You know, these guys play faster. They might give up a big play, but they're going to get right back in your face, and they're going to go after you the next time. So that's really what I attribute the Tech defensive improvement. Looking at third down, Tech's 1-0 in conference play, continuing to improve each week. What must they do in order to get over that hump and win their first conference championship?
To me, it's simple. I touched on this a minute ago. It's touchdowns in the red zone and not as many field goals. And I know that's easier said than done, but Tech has a lot of opportunities to do that. And, you know, I love Jonathan Barnes, and I love seeing him, you know, drill it through the uprights, but we got to get more touchdowns in the red zone.
Yeah, I think there has to be more touchdowns in the red zone. And one other thing I'll point out is defensively, I think Tech's allowing opposing offenses to convert. Let me look at the number right here. They're allowing opposing offenses to convert 40% of their third downs. They need to get that number, I think, around 33% to give themselves a legit chance at a championship. The defense has done a great job at forcing punts. They need to do a better job, an even better job, if they want to win a championship. Looking at offensively, Jamar has to continue to protect the football. He has the talent to do it all on offense, but if you turn the football over a time or two a game, you know, generally it's tough to win, especially, you know, Tech's forcing turnovers defensively, but you can't bank on those every game. So offensively, they have to, you know, not turn the ball over. Defensively, continue to get off the field on third down at a slightly better rate than they have been. Looking at fourth down, Tech played well outside of the Mississippi State games with all the struggles around the state, especially in Baton Rouge. Is it fair to say that Tech is the best team in the state right now?
I would love to say that Tech is the best team in the state right now. Our eyes may be a little bigger than our stomachs against – maybe, I mean, Troy beat LSU last week, and so it's
Tech
easy.
Tech would beat Troy.
Tech, I believe Tech would beat Troy too. So it's easy to say. Barely even heard of the Sun Belt. It's easy to say that that Tech could go and stun LSU, and I mean, any given Saturday, right? I mean, it can happen. So, but every single week throughout the season, to say that Tech's the best team in the state might be a long shot, but I'm a fan, so I believe it.
For me, you know, we talked about it a little bit before the show. I think, obviously, Tech and LSU are the two best teams in the state. I think LSU has better talent top to bottom than Tech may have, but I think Tech's the better team. There's some turmoil down there, whereas you look in Ruston, there's been some consistency, especially at the head coach spot and with both coordinators. Tech has a young quarterback who's talented. You know, defensively, you know, LSU probably has four or five first-rounders on that defense. But from a team standpoint, at this point in time, I think Tech has the better team. Would they go into Baton Rouge and beat LSU 7 out of 10 times? I doubt it. But one-game basis, put them on the field in Independence Stadium, give me the Dogs. Tech's the best team in the state. I think they'll finish with the best record in the state of all FBS programs. That wraps it up for Four Downs. You know, that's something we'll try to do every week. Pretty cool little, you know, ask some questions about Tech football. What more could we want? We're going to take a quick timeout after the break. We anticipate on being joined by defensive coordinator Blake Baker of the Bulldogs. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7.
You cheer for your team. You root for your team. You live for your team. You're a Louisiana Tech fan. Your Louisiana Tech Dairy Queen restaurants in Monroe, West Monroe, Ruston, Bossier City, and Shreveport invite you to try our fan food favorites. Locally owned and operated by Louisiana Tech alumni, Dairy Queen is proud of all Louisiana Tech athletes. Come by one of our locations and support the businesses who support Louisiana Tech. Dairy Queen, fan food, not fast food.
For years, serious hunters around here have gotten close to that big buck on a Bad Boy Buggy from Fairway Carts in Minden. Well, Bad Boy Buggy has a new name, Textron Off-Road, still committed to providing the same power, range, and stealth you demand. Textron Off-Road side-by-sides are whisper quiet, have plenty of distance for wherever you hunt, excellent steering, and deliver a great ride. Hey, you just need to come test ride one to see for yourself. And you can count on Fairway Carts to have the selection you want and always make you a great deal. 2018 models are rolling in, so remaining 17s are priced to move with big rebates and low interest financing with approved credit. Talk with Larry about a sweet Fairway Carts deal on the one you want most and find out how much you'll save. All the reasons you want a Bad Boy Buggy now wrapped up in a new name, Textron Off-Road. Trailer yours home from Fairway Carts in Minden. Call 800-960-CART or go to fairwaycarts.net.
Hey, this is Sean Fox, sports director here at 97.7, inviting you to join me and the rest of the sports company every day, Monday through Friday, from 3 to 6 for our unique, unfiltered take on the world of local and national sports. We're going to make you laugh. It might make you cry, and there's a pretty good chance at some point I'm going to make you mad. But we're going to have a lot of fun along the way. That's The Sports Company, Monday through Friday from 3 to 6, right here in your home for sports in North Louisiana, 97.7.
Injured in an accident? Call Creed & Creed in Monroe for local experienced representation. This is KNBB Dubok Ruston Monroe, 97.7.
Don't have time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries. Just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'm your host, Ben Carlisle. Louisiana Tech travels to UAB this weekend for a 3 p.m. kickoff with the Blazers. And we are now joined on the Fairway Carts hotline by Louisiana Tech defensive coordinator Blake Baker. How you doing tonight, Coach?
I'm doing great, Ben. How are you?
Oh, doing pretty good. Just to get things started, you look at the first five games of you guys' 2017 season. It's pretty apparent that your defense has improved a tremendous amount from 2016. What do you attribute that improvement to thus far?
I think, you know, a lot of it has to go to the players first and foremost, you know, the work they've put in the off season and training their bodies and also training their minds. You know, the amount of leadership that we have on this defense has been probably as good as I've been around since I've been here, with Cedric Cooper and Deldrick Canty and Jalen Ferguson and just a whole bunch of guys that hold each other accountable day in, day out. You know, and the second thing I'd probably attribute to is staff continuity and staff camaraderie. I think we have a tremendous staff, and you know, being together. This was the first time in my 4 years here that we've had the same defensive staff together 2 years in a row, and I think them understanding what we're trying to do on defense and me understanding them as people, you know, is really one of the more underrated things in college football. And then the third thing is Coach Hester. I think him and his staff do a tremendous job. Our guys are blue-collar guys and a wonderful mentality that are willing to fight day in, day out. And I think that is accredited to what he does in the offseason.
And looking back at that 2016 season, you obviously lose Xavier Woods to the NFL. I was able to make it out to a lot of practices this fall, and I don't think it was any secret that there was a high level of competition, especially in that secondary. How'd you feel about that unit coming into the season? I know outside of Cooper and Damarian King, they were inexperienced, but that unit definitely has excited the Bulldog fan base for sure.
I think they're, you know, obviously going into the season, you had a bunch of unknowns. You know, we talked about that even on signing day with the class that we signed and you know, guys not knowing exactly what guys are going to be able to do until they actually step onto the practice field is always unnerving. But, you know, I think competition makes everybody better, and those guys, they're all really good friends, but they all want to play, and they all compete at a high level. And I think just the depth overall on our defense is created a bunch of competition and allowed us to, you know, really get guys to compete and understand that game in, game out, you know, there's going to be competition and you're going to have to fight for your job, or we haven't necessarily had that in a couple of years around here. So I think what those guys are doing right now and improving every week with what Coach Curtis is doing back there, especially with the cornerback position, they've been exceptional and continue to get better every week. So I'm definitely encouraged with that.
And you talk about that increase in depth. Defensively, you guys haven't allowed a point in the fourth quarter in four or five ball games. Do you attribute that just to some maturity defensively and really learning how to play a complete football game?
Yeah, I think that's been, you know, the last couple of years around here, like I said, you know, even dating back to 2 years ago where we had, I think it was eight senior starters and a bunch of those guys, you know, Vontarius Dorr, Vernon Butler, Kentrell Bryce, Xavier Woods have gone on and played in the NFL. But you go back and look at that depth chart, I think we had seven true freshmen in the two deep, where I think this year we have, I think, only one, or two, I'm sorry. You got a Meek and Jaden Cole. But I think the maturity of the team growing up, but also the depth when you can put out your quote-unquote twos and feel really, really good about what they're able to do and what they do all week in practice, that allows you to put them in throughout the game, and guys are able to play less snaps and be fresher for the fourth quarter.
And when you look at, you know, obviously this 2017 version of the Tech offense isn't quite as high-powered as years past have been, I know it has to feel good from a defensive coordinator standpoint to know that your unit has been leaned on to really get the team to the finish in some big games that y'all have won on the road against Western Kentucky, or, you know, the home game last week against South Alabama that was tight into the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I think our guys have risen to the challenge. You know, the one that always, you know, we had to get over in a hurry, but it still is always you know, on the front of my mind is South Carolina, and that's probably how every coach feels. You know, you remember the ones that got away from you, and I think that game hopefully is going to propel us like it did last week and moving forward and how to close out a game. But it is a good feeling knowing that the team is counting on you, and I think that's how every guy on our defense wants the game is on their shoulders and have it be on them, and hopefully we learned from a couple weeks ago.
Coach, you mentioned Amik Robertson, and I actually remember last year when he committed, Ben texted me and was pretty fired up about having him join the Bulldogs. Can you just talk a little bit about what he's doing as a true freshman that makes him so special? Is it, you know, we see it in the stands, he's fiery, he's talking, you know, he's in their face. Can you just touch on that a little bit?
Yeah, I think you know, that's one of the hardest things to really gauge when you're recruiting a kid. And I was fortunate last summer to get down and watch him at a camp in person and just see his fiery demeanor, his swagger, whatever you want to call it, the it factor, you know, the intangible things. And actually, I was talking to one of the coaches today about it. As athletically gifted as he is, the thing that separates him, and I think the thing that's allowing him to play at such a high level so early on in his career, are the intangibles. The kid is absolutely a pleasure to be around. He loves football. He loves being around the field house. He loves watching film. And that's one of the hardest things to gauge, because college football is hard. You know, and a lot of guys, the light kind of clicks as they get older in their career. But for a true freshman to come in with that attitude and that work ethic, it's not a common thing. But I think that's kind of the unseen thing, you know, to the common fan behind the scenes. What is he doing? And I think it's just his love for the game and his passion for the sport. But obviously, with his athletic ability and his competitive nature, he's really been able to help us early on in his career.
Looking ahead to UAB this week, as has been the case with, you know, many of y'all's opponents throughout the first five games, UAB wants to run the football. They have a quarterback that's a dual threat type guy. How difficult is it to prepare for a guy who can throw it and can run it effectively as well?
He's a really good player. I think any defensive coordinator in the country would tell you, you know, that's probably the hardest thing to prepare for, a guy that can, the guy can, you know, stretch plays with his legs in the passing game and obviously in the running game as well. You know, looking back on Mississippi State, even obviously Nick Fitzgerald's a tremendous talent. There was a couple things that we did to ourselves that hopefully we can clean up and learn from moving forward. But they're a tough team to prepare for schematically. They give you a bunch of different looks and a bunch of different looks from week to week. So we don't know exactly what we're going to get, especially them coming off a bye week. And we got to just apply our rules and play solid defense. But their quarterback is a really, really good player.
And not only looking forward to UAB, but also throughout the rest of the season, what are you looking for from your defense that will allow them to continue to improve and reach that level of winning a conference championship, which I know is the goal?
I think we just got to come out there and get better every single day. The biggest thing from a fundamental standpoint is I thought the last 2 weeks we haven't tackled as well as I'd like us to. I think we're a little too high in our tackling technique and just a consistent basis. You know, like I said, dating back to South Carolina, you know, we played, I think it was 65 snaps in that game, and 60 of them we played some really good defense, and five, you know, guys blew some assignments, and obviously we all know the outcome of that game. So that's what we got to improve on, just a relentless effort and focus for 4 to 6 seconds every single time the ball is snapped, and just getting better out here on the practice field every single day, improving our technique, our fundamentals, getting lower on tackling. If we do that, I think talent's not an issue with this defense. I think want to is not an issue. I don't think leadership's an issue. Just got to get better fundamentally and technique and just improve every single time we walk out on that field.
Well, Coach, we thank you for joining us on Bleed Tech Blue Radio tonight, and good luck this weekend against UAB.
All right, guys. I appreciate it.
Blake Baker, defensive coordinator of the Bulldogs. Some interesting stuff. You know, one thing that Coach Holtz mentioned today, he and Coach Baker touched about his intangibles, how good Amik Robertson wants to be on the field. Coach Holtz talked about in his press conference today that I believe it was one day last week they're working on special teams. He's not in there. It's not a special teams unit that he's on. Neither is Teddy Veal. And Amik's on the side, lined up in front of Teddy Veal, asking Veal how he's going to respond to certain things he sees from Amik with how he lines up. And he was just so impressed with how much Amik wants to be good. He just wants to be good. And I think that's spilling over to the rest of this defense. I'm in complete agreement with Blake Baker. This defense has the talent. The talent is not in question. They can win a conference championship. It's just like with all teams. You have to pay attention to the minor details in order to get over that hump.
Right, and Skip also talked about some of these guys and what it takes for them to be great. And he just touched on, you know, being consumed with the process and how to get better. And we're seeing that from Amik. It's exciting. Like, you know, for Coach Baker to say as a true freshman coming in, you don't always get that. So, you know, to see Amik's fire and to his swagger, the it factor, whatever you want to call it, to see him have that and to wonder if that's going to translate over. But, you know, sometimes that's a pride shot to those guys when they get to Division I and they're not as good as they were in high school. It sounds like Amik is hungry and he wants to learn. And so it's encouraging. Hopefully that's a guy that we have for 4 years and he stays healthy, and I think he'll be a game changer on defense.
Absolutely. It was great catching up with defensive coordinator Blake Baker of the Bulldogs. A Bulldog defense that has improved an immense amount from 2016, and they're doing some special things in 2017. We're going to take our final timeout. When we come back from the break, we'll recap the show. We'll take a look ahead to UAB. We'll make our predictions. And Beck has an intriguing Bleed Tech Blue hot take of the week. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7.
First National Bank, the uncommon bank. Banking on a first name basis. Uncommon. People, service, and convenience. Uncommon. Dedication, trust, and courtesy. First National Bank. Beyond banking with 100 years of experience. Uncommonly close to you. First National Bank, the uncommon bank. www.theuncommonbank.com. Member FDIC.
The Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show is brought to you in part by O'Neill Gas. O'Neill Gas offers propane delivery to homes and businesses throughout North Louisiana. For more information, go to O'NeillGas.com.
97.7 is presented by the injury attorney Jeff Guerrero in Monroe. If you or someone you love has been injured in an accident or a victim of medical malpractice, you need to go Guerrero.
Need quality embroidered apparel for your business, school, or organization? At Corporate Embroidery and Apparel, our knowledgeable staff offers superior graphic design and quick turnaround embroidery on dozens of trusted brands at wholesale prices. Whether you're looking for woven shirts, polos, caps, bags, outerwear, or industrial workwear for your employees or customers, we have the brands you trust at the competitive price you demand. Please give Corporate Embroidery and Apparel a call, 318-299-6326, or email us at corporateemb@gmail.com for a quote today.
The iconic Jeep brand is celebrating with great deals on every Jeep model. Get a 17 Jeep Renegade Sport for only $17.9. A 17 Jeep Renegade Latitude is only $19.9. A 17 Jeep Cherokee Latitude is only $20,009. A 17 Jeep Grand Cherokee Limited is only $34.9. And a 17 Jeep Grand Cherokee Overland is $6,000 off MSRP. Jeep celebration days are coming to a close, so hurry in for the best deals on your next Jeep at Brennan Dodge in Ruston.
You gotta love it. Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio as we wrap it up as Louisiana Tech prepares to go on the road this week against UAB. Pretty interesting to me, Beck, how, you know, Tech started their conference slate in the third week of the season on the road at Western Kentucky. They pick right back up in conference play on the road against UAB. The conference doesn't do them any favors early on, but that does set up for the final four out of six games to be at home. So that's definitely an advantage for the Bulldogs.
Right. I think that's going to be huge. And, you know, we're getting into the games that matter. And so for them to finish off the season at home mostly, I think is going to be huge for Tech. And I think that'll benefit Tech a whole lot.
Yeah, and just looking at a few things from a statistical standpoint, UAB's third in the conference in scoring, Tech's sixth. Rushing offense, UAB's fourth, Tech's eighth. Tech's numbers are a little skewed by the minus 87 play against Mississippi State. Rush defense-wise, Tech's in the middle of the pack at eighth, UAB's 10th. Scoring defense, Tech's seventh in the league, skewed obviously by the Mississippi State 57-point outing. Overall, the Tech defense has been much improved. UAB's defense is 10th in scoring. Total offense-wise, Tech's 4th in the league, UAB's 6th. Pass offense, Tech is 3rd, UAB's 9th. Pass defense, UAB is 2nd. That's a little skewed. I know they played a triple option offense in Coastal Carolina. Tech is sixth against the pass, much improved from a year ago, only giving up 228 yards a game. Total defense, UAB is giving up 359 yards a game. Tech has given up 397 yards a game. Obviously, you know, that's from a statistical standpoint, I think it looks pretty even. When you look at who the two teams have played, Tech's obviously played far superior opponents.
Right, we got two SEC schools already under our belt, if you will, for this season, and UAB has played some teams that are good to pad their stats, I guess. But I mean, they technically, that heartbreaker loss to North Texas, which they were down a good bit at half, so I say it's a heartbreaker loss. They didn't give it away like Tech necessarily gave it away to South Carolina, but for them to, you know, they could easily be 3-1 on the season. So I've said it, if I've said it 10 times, I've said it 100. We cannot sleep on UAB.
Absolutely not. For me, you look at the multitude of injuries that Tech has, particularly offensively. When you look at, you know, Rashid Bonnet, you look at Alfred Smith, left tackle Josh Outlaw goes out with an injury against South Alabama as well. Who knows if he'll be back? O'Shea Dugas missed the game against South Alabama due to some personal reasons. He did practice today, as we reported earlier on BleedTechBlue.com. I would expect you'll see him back in there. I know Cody Russey, the redshirt freshman, has filled in nicely at both guard spots. But, you know, Tech, from an injury standpoint, they're missing some key contributors. Defensively, Mike Sam, JUCO corner, I think he last played against Mississippi State. He's out with a foot ankle injury. Tech needs to get him back as well. So Tech's banged up. The one thing that they can't do is, you know, look, you say don't look ahead to a bye week. Well, that's so cliche. Well, you know, this team needs time to regroup. They get an opportunity to regroup at the exact midway point of the season. But for 60 more minutes of football, they have to maintain that focus. Like Coach Baker said, 4 to 6 seconds defensively each play. The defense has to bring it. They can't have breakdowns in assignments. They can't break their rules. They have to continue to play fast, which will allow them to be successful. And I think offensively, you look at Jamar having 5 turnovers through his first 2 games. Then he turns it over once against Western Kentucky. He turns it over once against South Carolina. Turns it over 0 times against South Alabama. He has to continue to protect the football, keep the ball out of danger, and I think you'll see the Bulldogs have some success this weekend.
Right. I think you're right, Ben. And with Bonnet being out, that does hurt. I do expect to see Tech move or create some space for Teddyville. He's emerged as one of our playmakers, not necessarily a Trent Taylor type or Carlos Henderson, but he has showed himself to be the guy for Jamar in those tough times. So, you know, he's been in the slot. I think they'll probably try to create some space for him. Hopefully they do. The running game's got to be solid. Boston Scott was great last week. You know, he's short, but when he gets going, it's unbelievable, and he's fun to watch. So he's got to be good as well as Jared Kraft, and hopefully we can take and have a, you know, ground game and a passing game that is keeping UAB on their toes.
And one other injury I forgot to mention was Deldrick Canty. He missed the game a week ago. I believe it's a knee injury. He may or may not be back this week. He did dress last week, so I think he's close. It'll be interesting to see the call on that one. If he can't go, Matthew Yadarga will step in. He recorded his first career sack, the former walk-on, against South Alabama. UAB, Saturday afternoon, 3 p.m. kickoff. It'll be on our sister station, 107.5. No TV for this one unless you subscribe to CUSA TV. I think a 24-hour membership to watch the game is just $6.95. Mark Kramer and I will be on the post-game show after the game, after Dave and Teddy wrap it up from Birmingham. Bet, your prediction, or first let's get your hot take of the week for the UAB game.
I'd just like to remind you that I was right last week. I said that it would be an aerial assault and that Jamar would have over 300 passing yards, and I do believe that happened. So this week, I'll tell you what, Coach Baker got me fired up, and I'm believing in this defense. So I'm gonna say that Tech holds them to a field goal, and my prediction, 37-3.
If Tech can hold them to a field goal, that would be outstanding. My hot take of the week, Adrian Hardy, 7 catches, 116 yards, 1 touchdown in the coming out party for the young freshman. Tech rolls 41-20 in a big victory over UAB. Tabor, your prediction for UAB?
I think I'm kind of somewhere in the middle. I'm thinking like 37-13. I think UAB does get a garbage touchdown late, a couple field goals. So, yeah, 37-13.
You heard it, Tabor 37-13, Beck 37-3. I got the Dogs 41-20. If Tech can move to 4-2, 2-0 in Conference USA play, they'll head into the bye week in a good spot before hosting Southern Miss on October 21st. That's all we got for tonight. We'll be back, same place, same time next week. We'll recap UAB. We'll have some Bulldog football recruiting, so we haven't really had the opportunity to touch on too much of that thus far this season. But thanks for listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'm your host, Ben Carlisle, for my co-host, Beck Haynes, and our producer, John Tabor. You've been listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7.
Listen for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank, every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Go deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting with your host, Ben Carlisle. Also brought to you by National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Delta Broadband, Ideal Portable Buildings, Brister Smokehouse, and Fairway Carts. Thanks for listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
Experience down there. It was a really interesting year to watch what the Astros did. You know, they went out and they got Carlos Beltran. They brought in Josh Reddick. They brought in Brian McCann, and they kind of went away from what they were doing all those other years, right? Which was just, we're young, we're different, we're going to kind of revolutionize the way that you do a rebuild. And what they ultimately learned was they actually needed veteran leadership in their clubhouse. And so they went out and they got it, and they did an excellent job with the guys that they brought in. Then they even traded prospects to get Justin Verlander, which also kind of goes against the grain of what the original plan was. And now they've really put themselves in a good spot. It's a good lineup, really good lineup, with George Springer, Jose Altuve, Carlos Correa. It runs deep. And so they're a dangerous team. They got some pop in them. They probably have the American League MVP. At least I think they do, and Jose Altuve. You definitely got to keep an eye on the Astros.
You got great pipes. You already sound like a broadcaster. Spent all those years playing baseball, but it sounds like you were a born broadcaster. CJ Nikowski joining us on Fox Sports Radio, MLB on Fox, MLB Network. CJ, I saw your bracket on your Twitter feed. I was snooping at your Twitter feed. Looks like looks like you believe there's no stopping the Yankees. I mean, the Indians, right?
Yeah. Yep. So, well, first of all, you know how it goes. No matter what sport you're in, you guys have been through this. You get absolutely hammered for making predictions.
Oh, yes.
It's always wrong.
Oh, yeah.
You know how it goes, right? And then, of course, if you don't pick a team, then everyone just assumes that you hate their team. It's a lot of fun. So I threw it out there and did it anyway, just for, you know, because we do that in our house. My little guy's crazy. I got 3 kids. My little one is, like, bracket crazy. So he's begging me to print this thing up. So we do it in the house and have a little fun with it. But with that being said, I always take some chances. You know, I always like to see some favorites go down. But yeah, I have to be honest with myself. The Indians are just a really good team. They are incredibly deep. You know, they lose Jason Kipnis for a good part of the season and Michael Brantley, and it's a non-issue. They actually got even better with those guys down. It allowed them to put Jose Ramirez at second base, which is his best natural position. They like Urshela a lot as a good defensive third baseman. He went over to third when Jose Ramirez went to second. So this is a really good team. Edwin Encarnacion really turned it on after taking a little while to get comfortable there in Cleveland, and they're deep. It's unfortunate that Bradley Zimmer, their defensive center fielder, really fast guy, got hurt. He would have been a lot of fun to watch. But this is a good team, and the starting pitching is crazy. And I was a little surprised that Trevor Bauer's getting the game one start, and that Corey Kluber's going to go two. He can still pitch in a game five on regular rest because of the off days, but it's kind of interesting the way that they drew this thing up. But the rotation is really good, but it's the bullpen. The bullpen is what separates the Cleveland Indians from everybody else. This was the best bullpen in baseball this year. They absolutely dominated, and they got a good opportunity to do it again. Terry Francona's got a ton of weapons to work with.
CJ, one more. Joe Maddon, I love what he said after they celebrated making the postseason. He talks to the team at the end of spring training. He talks to them at the All-Star break and then the start of the postseason. There's not a lot of chatter from him. He expects these pros to step it up, considering what the Cubs did last year. Do you like their demeanor coming into the postseason? Could they go on that?